Yeah, I wanted to share with you an insight, and this is a little bit in Yana Diyama now. I think we could definitely learn something from it, learn something, take something away from it as the weather gets warm. Whatever a person's doing, continuing with yeshiva, not continuing with yeshiva, but just being out there. The alum starting to get out a little, to branch out, to move out. And I think that this is something that's very kedai. Very special lesson, a very important lesson that I'd like to share with you today. The whole first part of Parsha Shlach talks about the Meraglim. It's something which is one of the most difficult parshas in the Torah, just to understand what happened here. What happened? The Meraglim are called, at the beginning of the Parsha, they're called Rashei B'nai Yisrael. Rashei means they were the heads, they were the leaders, they were the Gedolim. They were Rashei B'nai Yisrael. They were called Nasiim. What is the role of a Nasi? A Nasi is somebody, to be Manasseh means to lift up. They were the leaders. They were the Rosh. They were the Nasiim. They were the ones whose role, whose job was to lift up others. Kulam Anashim, Rashi says that they were Chashuvim. And then what happened? What happened? And not one, not two, 10 Gedolim just fell apart completely. What happened? We're talking about the Gedolim of the Dor Dea, but we have to ask, it's Torah and we need to understand it. What happened? How does a Rosh Bnei Yisrael become a Regel? They were Roshim and then they became Meraglim. How does a Rosh become a Regel? You're the highest point. Became so low, Mamash, the lowest point to the Regel itself. How does a Nasi, somebody who's supposed to be lifting up others, how does he fall and become somebody who's machti, instead of lifting up others, causing others to fall, causing others to fail, causing an entire dor to die out in the midbar? What happened? How did they fall? What was their mistake? Again, we're not here to try to find fault in others. We should look at ourselves, but it's in the Torah. Just you're learning the psukim, learning the svarim, trying to understand what happened, what went wrong, and more importantly, what could we take from it? That's question number one. Question number two, when the Meraglim are describing what they're up against if they would go into Eretz Yisrael, Perkit Gimel Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'ha Anashim Asher Alu Imo, the people who went up with Kalev and Yeshua, they said, Lo Nuchal La'alos Al Ha'am. We can't go up against the nation that's there. Why? Ki Chazuku Mimenu, because they're stronger than us. Ki Chazuku Mimenu, that's the way the Targum understands it, Unkelus. Ki Chazuku Mimenu, Aritakufu minana. It's not the way Rashi explains it. Remember Rashi? Rashi says, Ki chazaku mimenu. The word mimenu doesn't only mean from us. Mimenu could mean than him. Than him. Who's him with a capital H? Says Rashi, they were kaifer. They said, Ki chazaku mimenu. That they were greater. Kavayachal klape maila amru. They said this about the Ribbono shel Olam. It's stronger than him. The nations in Eretz Yisrael are stronger than him. And we wonder, what happened here? How could the Rosh Bnei Yisrael talk this way? How could Gedolim, how could Nesiim, who Anashim Chashuvim, Chazaku Mimenu, stronger than him and stronger than the Ribbono shel Olam? What went wrong? What happened? And third question is, they came and they brought fruit. Okay, when they came, when they presented their case, they said, They said, yes, Banu al ha'aretz asher shalachtanu. We came to the land you sent us. V'gam zavas chalav u'dvash. It's flowing with milk and honey. V'zeh perion, this is its fruit. We know the fruit was very, very big fruit. Gemara in Sota discusses how many people were necessary to carry these various fruits. They were huge. What was the point in that? To show us that the people are giants? What does it have to do with the food? Meaning big food creates big people? What was it? Why do we need to know that they would, what were they showing with these big fruits? What was the point that they were trying to bring out? These are the kashas. What happened to the Nasiim? What happened to the Rashim? How could they say, Ki chazaku mimenu? How could they come to the Dor Dea, the Dor who saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Dor who saw the Makas, the Dor who saw Kriyas Yamsuf, the Dor who saw Matan Torah, the Dor who was eating man as they spoke? Ki chazaku mimenu? What were they saying and what were they showing with the fruit? So I want to give over a derech in this sugya that's basically found in the Yismach Yisrael from the Alexander Rebbe, and the Tiferet Shlomo also goes, from the Radonsker also goes with this idea. And this is, they said, with each one with a different knech, but this is basically the Yisod. They said like this, of course the Dardeah were the Dardeah, and the Nesiim of the Dardeah were the Nesiim. And the Nesiim, what is the job of a Nasi? What is the job of a real Jewish leader? Lev HaMelech, Lev HaAm, it's not about himself. Again, Gedal Midrashim, that don't sound like this, but let's just, for now. They're not in this for themselves, they're in this for the people. They took Achrayas for their people. They went into Eretz Yisrael and they said, there's no way that the people are going to be holding, going to continue to remain on the Madrega that they are. And for two reasons. The way the Yismach Yisrael speaks it out, he says that they found, they experienced tremendous potential for growth, tremendous potential for Kedusha when they were there. They experienced it, they felt it. But they realized, and they also sensed that where you have potential for Kedusha, you have potential for the opposite of Kedusha as well. And they saw that as well. They saw that there was so much, they saw people were dying left and right. They said, why? Because people misbehave. There's a tendency in Eretz Yisrael to do things wrong. Why? Because where there's a pull to do things right, so wherever there's potential for growth and for Kedusha and for Tahara, there's the exact opposite. And they said, here in the Midbar, at least it's safe. There's very few Nisyanis. People don't get caught up with the other things. You're in the Midbar. There's nothing else to do. So we're here. At least now the people are remaining. Their integrity is being preserved. But what's going to be when they go into Eretz Yisrael? We can't take them there. We have an achrayas to them. We can't allow this to happen. And this is the way the Yismach Yisrael speaks it out. The Tiferet Shlomo says, they looked at the Gashmias of Eretz Yisrael. And they saw this place is, the food is so delicious. Look at the size of a grape. Not just that, oh, it's gigantic, you need to be scared of this. This is amazing. Grapes are watermelons. Everything is so delicious. Things are so big. They brought it back. They showed them and said, are you ready? Are you holding it in my dragon now with Gashmias of this sort to be able to still remain a Ruchni being? To still have your mind help you make decisions? Have your neshama help you make decisions? If this is what a grape looks like, if this is what a pomegranate is like, they were shown there's such a gashmias dika pull in Eretz Yisrael. You know, Rashi brings down that, it says in the pasuk here that Chevron, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they went to Chevron. The Chevron, sheva shanim nivnasa lifnei Tzayan Mitzrayim. Tzayan Mitzrayim, Rashi says, was the most delicious, gorgeous place in Mitzrayim. And that wasn't even a seventh of Chevron, which was the rockiest place in Eretz Yisrael. They used it as a burial plot because who would want to live there? So Chevron at that time was seven times, which was the most unattractive place of Eretz Yisrael at that time, was seven times more than the most attractive place in Mitzrayim. So they come, they were concerned. They see Eretz Yisrael is beautiful. It's taka zavas, chala vudvash, it's gorgeous. These are the fruits. How are they going to be able to maintain their ruchniyistika integrity being surrounded by materialism of this extreme? How are they going to be able to pull it off? So they said, we can't. We can't take it, not on our watch. We can't take the achrayas for it. Okay. So we've answered, so why did they bring the fruit? This is what they were trying to prove with the fruit. We'll go with the nusach of the Tiferet Shlomo. They felt that it was the gravitational pull towards Gashmis will pull them away. Yes, they have Bechira, but it's so hard. What did they mean when they said, Chazuk mimenu? Listen to this amazing pshat. Chazuk mimenu, it's stronger than him, it's stronger than Hashem. They said, the Gemara says, in Brachas, the Gemara says, I believe it's on Lamed Gimel, Mara says, "Hakol bidei shamayim." Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for one thing. Anybody remember what is that one thing? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz.
Yerushamayim.
Correct. Yerushamayim. Everything is bidei shamayim, but not Yerushamayim. You know what Yerushamayim aren't? You know what Yerushamayim means? Yerushamayim means the choice to be good or bad. That's called Yerushamayim. If a person's smart or the opposite of smart. If a person is tall or the opposite of tall, or a person is, all of these things are bidei shamayim. Person doesn't have a choice. Rich and poor. The Gemara says, people have, it's going to be one way or the other. But good or bad, tzaddik or rasha, that is totally bidei ha'adam. Min ha'shamayim, they don't control that. Obviously, Hashem could, but he won't. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'yirushamayim. So therefore, the Nesi'im are saying, what is our concern about Eretz Yisrael? You know what our concern is? It's not that we can't come, not that Hashem can't wipe out these nations in 5 minutes or less. Of course he could. But our concern is that we're going to fall. Our people are going to lose their Madregan Ruchnias. They're going to make bad choices. That's our concern, because they're going to be too enticed and attracted and seduced by the materialism of Eretz Yisrael of that time. They said, we're so concerned. And that is something Hashem can't intervene on, because Hashem says, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'Yerushamayim." We're concerned with the Yerushamayim factor. The Yerushamayim is going to take a hit, and that's chazakum imenu. Hashem designed the world that He won't intervene and force our bechira in one way or another. He begs us ubacharta b'chaim. He begs us to make the right choice. He gives us a mitzvah to make the right choice. But at the end of the day, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'Yerushamayim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu stays out of that choice. Ki chazaku mimenu, they said, this is the one area that Hashem can't even help us out with, because that's the way He designed the Bria. What an incredible pshat in these psukim. So I ask you, so where did they go wrong? This is amazing. They care so much about our ruchnias. They're right. These are the fruits. This is the attraction. It's going to pull us away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't, can't intervene in this area. So where were they wrong? Why such a hate? How did they go wrong? How did they cause the whole nation to fall apart and get such a charanaf on the part of Hashem? And the answer is obvious. Because Hashem told them it's going to be okay. Hashem told them to go to Eretz Yisrael. You could make a ruchnias dikecheshbin, and you should make ruchnias dikecheshbinas, but not if Hashem told you to do something different. If Hashem told you that you need to go into Eretz Yisrael, this is what you need to do. This is a mitzvah. Obviously, Hashem will give you the koyach to be able to do it. He'll give you the siyata d'shmaya. It'll be difficult. Okay, that's right. Things will be difficult. And a person, if it wouldn't be a mitzvah, perhaps shouldn't put himself into that kind of a matzav. But over here, it was a mitzvah. Hashem told him to do it. If Hashem's telling us to do it, that's obviously His ratzon. And obviously, at this point, Hashem is saying, I don't want you to continue this existence in the Midbar, almost like a malach, with having almost no nisayon pulling you away. I want you to go into that world of nisayonis, and you'll be okay. It'll be hard, it'll be a struggle, but you'll be able to make it, you'll be fine. And that was their toast. That's how the Rashei B'nai Yisrael ended up becoming meraglim. Why? Because they used their rush too much. Sometimes a person has to put his head on hold when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, and go with Emunah Pshuta, and go with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do. Yes, they were Nesi'im. They were looking out for the people. But they forgot at the end of the day, you can't look out for the people on the cheshbon of what Hashem Himself tells you to do. That was their toast. An amazing, amazing thought, amazing insight. I'm looking at the Sfarim and I'm thinking to myself the following. This means, really the Meraglim were right. Meaning, if not for the fact that there was a tzivu ibn Mefurish to go into Eretz Yisrael, they should not have gone at that point in time. Why? Because a person should not put himself into a matzav where the materialism is going to pull him away from his ruchnias. A person should not do that. Their mistake was that Hashem told them to go into Eretz Yisrael. He told them to go into Mitzrayim, but a person needs to make a cheshbon and needs to realize it's very, very hard. When there's a gravitational pull, pulling a person one way, it's very, very hard to fight gravity and pull the other way. So what does this have to do with right now? I think this is it's always a good thing to think about, always a good thing to learn. But, you know, now with B'chasdei Hashem, the mamash B'chasdei Hashem, certainly for us who here in New York, those of you who are in New Jersey, where the numbers of people getting sick, Baruch Hashem, have plummeted. It's so rare now, Baruch Hashem. And this seems to be, we daven, we hope that it's past us. We hope that now things are going to remain calm and hopefully get to a point where there's zero people getting sick and getting hurt, and hopefully everywhere else as well. And now people are going out. I've met a number of you just over the last few days, Baruch Hashem at Simchas, at other places, where, you know, people are coming out, people are going out. And it's a good thing. It is a good thing we're able to get. Yeshiva Mitzvah is resuming next week for those who are able to come. And even I would say, even if you're not coming for the full thing, but come by one day to visit, even if you're not, 2 days. Splurge, spoil yourself, come in a bit. But there's a risk, and we need to remember that there's a risk. The last Ben Azmanim that we had, which was over Pesach, was in a certain way, I mean, we were scared, I was. There was a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty, but it was in a certain sense, a little bit of a holier Ben Azmanim than Ben Azmanims often are. It's a lot of learning that went on. There was nothing else to do. We weren't outside gorging ourselves in restaurants. We weren't outside running around and doing things and wasting excess time like that because we were home. There was no place to go. People were making do with less. A lot of extravagances that normally could come along with Pesach just didn't happen. There were a lot of things that we became subdued, calm, subdued. Figured that even in our own homes, even in our own bedrooms, we could actually learn Torah and we could shtay and we could become holy and we could push ourselves. We discovered so much about ourselves the last Ben Azmanim. And going in now to a summer, and for those of us who are starting Ben Azmanim and working in other things, but in a sense, even those who continue with yeshiva, it's you know, there is more time, there's more outdoors, it's warmer. Not to lose what we've gained. Not to lose that sensitivity. It wasn't 100 years ago. Not to just snap back and revert back to, okay, things are as usual. Just because restaurants are going to be open and just because opportunities to indulge and engage are more available. And Baruch Hashem, they are more available. And the owners of those places are able to make parnassas and that doesn't mean we become steeped in it. Doesn't mean that we throw ourselves into it. Because when we throw ourselves into it, when there's a gravitational pull, and this is what the Rashi B'nai Yisrael, the Anashim Chashuvim of that time, they saw and so. There's no way we could bring the people here. How could we take them out of being away from society and civilization, living in a desert someplace? How could we bring them now into Eretz Yisrael with all of its Kedusha? You know, I'm thinking to ourselves, Baruch Hashem, able to go back into shuls and batei medrash, now that we're able to go out, it's a lot more potential for Kedusha to be Baroiv Am Hadras Melech. There's so much potential for Kedusha, but there's also potential for the opposite. A person could become so mundane and materialistic, being pulled and drawn and dragged. It's something we need to be so sensitive to. The Meraglim, at the end of the day, it wasn't right. The Ratzon Hashem was that they should come out, and the Ratzon Hashem now is that we should come out. And we should to return in a safe way to where we need to be and do the things we need to do, but not to, chas v'shalom, allow things to spiral out of control, not to allow ourselves to be caught up with it, because that is dangerous. Our ruchnius could take a very, very significant hit. And this, l'maisa, for serious mevakesh, to be grateful for the time, and Baruch Hashem, we are where we are, but to preserve our integrity, to preserve our ruchniistic integrity, where we need to be, what we need to be doing, how we need to be doing it. Obviously, to be nizer and shmir seinayim, in the sugya we've just been speaking about now, but not to be a zelo v'soyve, to remember that modesty, to remember that the reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm part of Hashem's world, whatever His plan is, as long as I fit in there, I'll be fine. All of those hergeshim that we had, not to lose that as we come out, as we, those are gains. And yes, and on the one hand, we're plotting, and I see people plotting, sometimes even doing things that are irresponsible. Chashavi had told me earlier this week. He said, I just can't hold myself back, and you know, was doing things that perhaps were not so safe, perhaps were not so. But why? Because we're plotting to come out, just to do it with a zehirus, to do it, not to be nischaf, not to be drawn, not to just be pulled and dragged. And which was the concern of the Meraglim, and the only reason that what they did was wrong and was terrible was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to do it, or Fakir, he told them to go into Eretz Yisrael. So let me end off for the following beautiful thought. I had I was by a asana in the Kiryas Yal yesterday, Yadovi Hanesh. So I went to to the holy town of Satmar over there, and I was learning in the Beis Medrash, and I pulled a sefer, and I want to share with you something I saw. Really, really beautiful thought. Pasuk says, "Slach na la'avayn ha'am hazeh k'gaydol chasdecha." We say this pasuk every time that we say slichas. Rav Shmuel Brazil has a beautiful tune to it, and you know, we say this at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Takadosh Baruch Hu, after the Chet HaMeraglim, Slach na la'avayn ha'am hazeh k'gaydol chasdecha. Please, Hashem, forgive the sin of this nation k'gaydol chasdecha, according to your great chesed." That's fine. That's, I understand that first part of the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not deserving of your slicha, but be mischased. I'm asking for your chesed. Slach na la'avayn ha'am hazeh k'gaydol chasdecha. But there are a few more words in the pasuk. V'chasher nasasa la'am hazeh mimitzrayim ba'adhena. Just like you carried the am hazeh from Mitzrayim until this point in time. What do those words mean? Slachna, forgive, please forgive Klal Yisrael in accordance with your chesed, and like you carried them from Mitzrayim until now. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with like you carried? You know, the reading the pasuk, the simple reading, almost sounds like we need the legal precedent for this. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Slachna, forgive them, kasher nasasa, just like you've done it until now, so continue doing it now. What he needs to show some legal precedent? Slachna la'avana, what does he mean, kasher nasasa la'am hazeh mimitzrayim ba'adhena? So let me tell you what I saw, and let me tell you what I thought. I saw from the Majitzer, in the Sefer Divrei Yisrael, he says a beautiful thing. The more you give, the more a person gives another person, especially when you're really, really investing and building somebody else, so that either is a raya, it's a siman to the love that you have for that person, or it's a stiba, it causes you, you know, ava, shorash of ava is have. The more have there is, the more ava there is. So number one, it's a siman. Number two, it's a stiba. It's connected to the love. He says, imagine somebody, you have a child who gets into trouble with the law. And they come, they throw the books, they come to the parent and they say, look, you know, we got to put your kid away. We got to, you know, he's done whatever. He's the ripe old age of 15, has violated every crime, putting him away. And they come and the parents try to handle it this way and that way. They get a lawyer. It's not working. And finally, the mother breaks down. The father breaks down and they tell, I'm sorry, could you just give me one moment, please? Sorry. So he breaks down. The mother breaks down and she says, I know that you're saying he did this and he did this and he did that. And you know what? We're not going to come with a lawyer now to come and claim that maybe it's this way or maybe it's that way. We're not. But she says, listen, from the time that he was born, look at how much I gave him. I was up nights and nights and nights with him. And and my husband was up and we invested money into the child. And yes, he was a difficult child. He wasn't an easy child to raise. And, you know, we had to deal with the schools and we always used to go in and we used to come. We've invested so much into this child. You want to take him away now and it all went for naught? Give us another chance to try. Look at how much we've given. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hashem, I know Klal Yisrael right now have crossed the red line. They're all sitting there and crying and not doing what you told them to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's true. But Hashem, look at how much you've invested into this people. Look at all the nisim you did for them when they left Mitzrayim. Look at the man that you brought down in Hashemayim. Look at the Torah you gave them. Look at all the fact that the whole world, Shamim, Ashamim, Amim Yirgazu, everybody, look at where they got as a result of these people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at how much you've invested. He was trying to be ma'ar, that chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've put so much into them, you're going to do away with them right now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Salachti kidvaracha. So I'm reading this, which is a beautiful, beautiful beer about how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us all the time, and very important for us to realize, even if sometimes a person makes a mistake, and a big mistake, person goes out into a summer, goes out and he's not, things don't work out exactly according to plan. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also still listening to Moshe's cry of Kasher Nasasa La'am Hazeh Mimitzrayim Ba'adhena. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much you put into them. And that person thinks about that, he'll realize the chiba that obviously Hashem has in him. But as I'm reading this, a thought occurred to me, and I just wanted to share this with you. Kasher nasasa la'am hazem mitzrayim v'adheinah means so much, you know, sometimes a person steigs and a person goes through good tkufas and a person is amid ben yisayin and a person rises to his challenges in life and then he does something he really shouldn't. Sometimes things like that happen. And we tend to judge ourselves, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippur, Hakol ha'ilech achar achisum, everything follows the end. And all that I do is I look at the last thing that happened and I fall apart. But we have to realize, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Kasher nasas alam hazeh, look how much you invested in them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these people are huge. I know now they've done something bad. Now they did whatever they did as a result of the report back from the Meraglim. And I understand how disappointed, and yes, they crossed the line. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at how much you invested in them. Do you realize how strong they are? Look at, these are the people that left Mitzrayim. These are the people that got your man. These are the people who were makabel your Torah directly from you. They're so big. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're so big. Don't wipe out Klal Yisrael. Yes, they did something they shouldn't, but they'll be able to revert back. Like I've told you before from the Drasha Saran, if you take water and you heat it, you boil the water, and then the water becomes cool, it goes back to room temperature. If you boil it again, it'll take quicker for it to reboil the second time. Because once it was there already, it already has its properties changed to the point that right now it's water that was boiled once before. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is coming back and he's saying, Kasher nasas al amazeh mimitzrayim v'adheinah. Hashem, forgive them. Why? Kasher nasas al amazeh. This was a nation you took out of Mitzrayim. You built them. They grew so much. Yes, they fell, but they'll be able to come back because they already went through so much of this in such a positive way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bench us all. As the weather gets warm, to take enjoy that weather. Enjoy being able to be back in a base medrash, being our base medrash, being able to be back davening inside with minyanim if we're capable of doing that. And all these, it's an exciting tkufa, but not to validate the concern of the Meraglim, to be pulled by the other things that beckon us when the weather is warm, when the restaurants are open, not to become megushim in that way, but rather to use the gains. Remember last bein hazmanim. Remember how you were, how you conducted yourself. Remember what you're capable of doing even when you're in your room. Remember what you're capable of doing even when you're in your own house. Remember how much kedusha you infused there, how much limud haTorah, how much growth you had even when you didn't have access to all of it. So let's take that now, extrapolate from there to this bein hazmanim, to this time when we're not necessarily in yeshiva full-time, and we're not going to necessarily have the same siddurim full-time. But not chas v'shalom to allow things to unravel, to remember what we did. Remember when we didn't have access to restaurants v'chulu, we were still able to function, and we were still able to hold ourselves. Now, even when we go, let's do it in a more refined way. Kadosh Baruch Hu bench us all with tremendous hatzlacha and aliyah. The shmuz will continue mitzvah Shem throughout the Tammuz man, and hopefully whoever won't be there in person will join us on Zoom.
Tuesday.
Yeah, we announced it at the beginning. Mitzvah Shem, Tuesday, starting Aleph Tammuz. We will be starting in Mitzvah Shem, and we'll be sending out a letter tonight, hopefully latest tomorrow morning, with the specifics of how that's mom over.
I take credit for the last Vart. I take credit for that Vart. Because I sent you to Satmar yesterday.
Was the well worth it?